Hello, you are welcome to Cheap Talk Podcast, the show where we say it to do it right. Are you thinking of putting an end to societal stereotypes and fallacies? Then stay put on Cheap Talk with Princess Amarachi, the podcast for the exceptional and non-conforming individual. Get set for a rebranded mindset, because here in Cheap Talk, we say it to do it right. You can listen to Cheap Talk at jamit.fm. Glad to have you on today's episode of Cheap Talk Podcast with Princess Amarachi. Every generation thinks itself smarter than the one before it and the one that we come across. And that brings a conflict, a kind of problem in the differences that exist with the previous generation and the young millennials, if you're in your 20s or even in your early 30s. Do you remember how your parents felt when you chose another course apart from being a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant because they felt that is the best career choice anyone can make? Or the frown they gave you when you brought in a girl and introduced her as your wife-to-be? Remember the response? Why didn't you tell us before bringing in a girl? We would have done an investigation to know if the family is suitable for you. So, there are different patterns that have been in existence even before we came. And now, we seem not to be following them. So, there are conflicts between our parents and every young millennial. That is the question that one of our listeners sent to us that I would want you to listen to.
Hello, my name is Akin Victor. And I want to listen to a topic that have to do with, you know, the millennials and the struggle, you know, they pass through dealing with their parents and the people from their generation as well. You know, their parents, most parents are not in the same level when it comes to technology, you know, that the millennials are or the Generation Zs are. So I want to listen to a podcast that will deal with the struggle, you know, between these two different ends, the millennials, the struggle of transiting from what their parents, you know, to being themselves, you know, the struggle they pass through and how to deal with some of those struggles. You know, most times is knowing that, I don't know, just how to deal with some of those struggles. So I just want to listen to that.
How do we relate our differences and our millennial struggles to our parents in peace so that we can come to a reasonable conclusion on what we need to do and also understand where they are coming from? With me today to discuss that is the CEO and co-founder of Iris Farms. That's Mr. Joshua. And he is a farm setup consultant for anyone who wants to set up a farm anywhere, especially in southwestern Nigeria. I find him very interesting to talk about this because he has a somewhat experience and I think he can relate to the struggles we face as millennials. So, Mr. Joshua, it's good to have you on today's episode. You've listened to the question of one of our listeners on how millennials struggle, the question that bothers on the mind of every millennial who doesn't want to feel like he's trying to abandon old principles and who also doesn't want to get stuck with trying to impress parents and elderly ones. So, is that something you can relate with, or do you think it's peculiar to our listener?
No, it's not peculiar to our listener. It's not. It's something I relate with very well. Like much of my recent struggles have been around this same thing. So it's not just him, like I said. It's something every millennial out there faces. Every millennial, yeah. So I relate perfectly with that. And in the course of this conversation, I would be sharing maybe 2-3 instances where I had to face that conflict and how it panned out and the things I learned and all.
Okay. There's no need saying in the course, just start sharing your experiences so that, you know, most people prefer to listen to stories and they'll learn the lessons there. So let's throw that part before we start going to the other part. So share your experiences on how you've had that kind of struggle in the past and even now.
There is this saying which I learned when I was very young. And I think it built the foundation for my fight against issues like this, my parents having a different view, I having a different view and all of that. Yeah. It says every generation thinks itself smarter than the one before it and the one that will come after it.
Wow.
So my parents, when they were young, probably felt their own parents were not as smart as they are, like they can't understand us. It's a different time. And probably thought we are not as smart as they are. So here are we now thinking our smart parents are not as smart as we are. And the younger ones don't understand what's happening. That day will come someday and tell us we are not as smart as they are. So we feel like, how do you mean? What do you know? And all of that. So if we look at ourselves as just a generation, we'll not understand what the older generation is doing, saying, or thinking. But if we look at ourselves as the generation that will become the older generation's son, we'll begin to relate with the passions, the fears, the worries of the older generation, our parents.
Wow.
So that made me understand most of what look like as they are trying to influence our decisions in way 16 is actually they trying to be protective in some way or trying to guide us from their world of experience and all of that.
Okay.
And forgetting that with every generation, there are new knowledge, new possibilities, and those are possibilities they had not faced in their time. So they can't relate with them, but we can because we are the one in the show now. We can see possibilities, we can see changes in the career world, we can see changes in the work environment and all of that. And those changes begin to dictate how we act, kind of decisions we take. And they can relate with that. And if you were making a mistake, they want to come save us and all of that.
Yeah.
So that's where the conflict is popping out from. And also, when I was young, everything was around ICT, around computer, programmer, engineer, and all of that. Computer. And my dad felt, okay, I want to give my son a very solid future, a very good one. And all. There's always talking about computer. Josh, do something around computer. Can't be an engineer. Computer will take over the world. And he was right. For an unschooled man, as he is, he has this very, very sharp vision. So he knew computers would be everything soon. That was far back to 15, 17 years ago.
Wow.
The computers would be everywhere. Computers would take over. Then go for computers and all. So he tried his best, encouraged and all. But the only thing I could see before me was just plants and animals. So I wanted to be a farmer. And that scared him. That scared my uncles. That scared everybody. Farmer. That's where we're coming from. That was what our grandparents did. Are you going back to that age, you know, we should get better and all. And, but I don't know. My little mind just pictured it that no matter how computerized we get, we can't print out food from the system.
That's
somebody
true.
Has to grow it. So, I could not explain what I was thinking to them because, of course, they had the experience, they knew better, and I knew they were right. But I also knew somewhere in there, I have a valid point. So how did I eventually do what I wanted to do? And we didn't fall out and all of that. There's no issues at all. So I had this uncle who was a computer guru at that time. He's very good. So my training was even free of charge. Went to him and he was teaching me every and anything. Teach me about systems, dismantle system, couple them, repairs and all of that. I was catching on fine. I was doing fine. I was not happy. I was learning well. He was so impressed, but I felt that was not my place. I was always thinking about how large the farm would be for it to be able to meet the demands that will come in the future. I was not even thinking of a backyard farm. I was thinking of, you know, entire states as farms. My small mind. And when I talk, people laugh and like, what do you know? Small boy like you. Well, I just, it was crazy. I know. So I had this heart-to-heart talk with my dad, the first ever. I was very young, so I'm sure the sincerity of that talk got to him.
Oh.
I said, Dad, I'm learning here. I'm learning fine. Uncle has told you I'm doing fine, but I'm not happy. All I think about is plant and animal. If you think it's a menial job, can't we do it in a way it becomes something prestigious. And it was like, okay, come home. And I spoke to my uncle and all of that. I was home. I was happy and all of that. So at that point, they just let me be like, oh, whatever you want to be, just go ahead and do it. I'll be here watching. And I won't tell you I told you so. I'll just be working. So it wasn't like he was supporting me or giving me ideas. As it was just there. He was not in my way. It was just like,
just stand by.
Allow yourself. Do what you want to do. Just stand by. So then I started. My education and everything was just along that line. Give myself about some 10 going to 12 years of practical experience on people's farms. I just found out you have a farm. I'm like, can I come around and just volunteer? I help you to one thing or the other. You're always willing. Oh, come around. And I come with my tons of questions. How this, how that, how this, how that. So even before graduating, I'd known a lot about practical agriculture and all land. So with the kind of things I was doing, it was not affecting any other thing in my life. Like, for example, now, we see lots of millennials who may be obsessed about music, about art, and their entire life shuts down. Everything shuts down, just music. You know, they drink music, they walk music, and that imbalance creates a lot of discomfort around them and the older generation they live with.
Yes.
I don't know if you get me.
Yes, I got you.
Yeah, you can't just build life around one thing. It's a very dysfunctional way to live. Like, what about your relationship with people? What about your relationship with the society? What about your responsibilities in the home, the society, and all of that? So my pursuit was not affecting all of that. I was a normal kid doing everything I should do, but you can't touch, you can't scratch agriculture off my mind. And also, I was not tilting to one side. And so that gave them peace of mind. Like, okay, he wants this. He's actually doing everything he should do as a normal child, a normal young person growing up. He's paying attention to every other thing, to siblings, to parents, to the church, to the society, to rules, regulations, and all. And he's giving all his focus to one thing. Let's let him be and follow that. I remember sometimes my uncle came visiting, and you know, the normal thing they ask, so what's the plan and all of that? Someone like, okay, I'm going to be a bank manager. And I just come with my normal line. I want to be a farmer. And I was talking to my dad, like, are you really going to let him do that? And dad was like, yeah, what's wrong with farming? Don't we all eat? You know, that was so interesting for me. Like, wow, this is cool. All right, so I just grew up that way, pursuing my thing and all of that. So an academic was not lagging behind. Like, flying colors, very flying colors. And so dad just put all of them to rest. Like, whatever this boy is doing, he sure knows what he was doing, because you talk about academics, he's not choosing an easy, agriculture was seen as an easy way out or something. So if I was having a lot of poor grades and a new extra years, it would be like, no wonder he chose agriculture. Based on the society I grew up in. But you talk of academics and you've left everyone behind, your grades are so shiny, and yet they ask what you want to be, say you want to be a farmer. Maybe everybody start thinking, what's this thing that we are not seeing? Aha, so that's where I got everybody to finally. Then, blah, 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 down to this point, everybody's rooting for the agriculture, like, boy, do it, how can we make this big and all of that? So, looking at where it started from, I was misunderstood, just like every millennial say, you know, they don't understand me. I had to make sure I bring them to a point where they respect my divergent view.
Okay.
They have to respect my uncommon view. I was not shoving my decision down their throat. You don't understand me, then get away. I was trying to negotiate, and that is one thing I would hammer on so much here. Millennials like you, like me, we do not have negotiation skills. We don't know how to compare, how to convince. We don't want it, or everything goes bust. And our parents won't take that from us. Now, you can't shove your innovations or your whatever into their throat and have them swallow it and just under the thing of you can't understand. No, they can't understand. You can make them understand. And really, for any of us who wants to do one of these crazy things, crazy in quotes now.
Yeah.
We need our family support. it comes a lot more easy to do when you have your family supporting or believing that what you're doing will be fine and all of that too. Yeah.
That's actually so much of a story in few minutes. And I got a lot of things from that. One was that you had that personal focus and motivation to what you wanted to do. And then the most important thing that I also got is that you were not trying to form a rebel. Because I think if we see the older generation, if we understand what it means to have gone through years of learning a particular pattern, and then all of a sudden we want them to unlearn it to accept us, then we'll learn to sit at the negotiation table to talk things through. So
exactly,
that's actually one thing that I think our listener will get from this, that it's good for us to be patient enough to negotiate whatever it is that we're about to do in the new way we want to do it. Then I also feel that you also have a word for our parents, because sometimes even when the child or the people of the younger generation are trying as much as possible to explain why they are doing what they are doing, most times, because they already have something built up in their mind, they don't get to allow these things sink in. What do you have to say to people of older generation who have already grown judgmental to what is happening in this present generation?
Okay. Before I hit that, there is something else I want to hit, which will make them do what I want to suggest they do.
Okay.
Because there must be a reference point from which would say, okay, parents should behave like this. And I wanted to talk about creating a track record. That's for millennials, for our listeners, creating a track record. You don't consistently behave irresponsibly, and you show up one day with a responsible idea or a divergent thought, and you suddenly want everybody to believe you and trust you that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
The track record shows you've taken not to take out the fact that as young people who make lots of mistakes, I'm not talking about our mistakes, like our sincere mistakes, no. Mm-hmm. Talking about if you've grown up as a child, or a young person who wants to listen and doesn't just care about being listened to. Those times when you have to make these negotiations, you come out as someone who has listened in the past and who has a need to be listened to now. Or like someone who has never, listened to anything, good or bad, you just want to do it your way and all of that. Times like this will be very, very, very much difficult, because even when they want to trust you this time, they remember the many times. I don't know if you get that right.
Yes, I'm getting you.
If you take time to build a track record, or you have built a good track record as someone who is growing up to be a responsible, empathetic, open-minded person, yes, we can then have the moral justification to say, okay, our parents should loosen up to. As in losing up to trust that this same child, this same boy, this same girl, this same male, female, who had listened to them in the past, needs to be listened to now, because he's in a different time, different from theirs. He's facing different possibilities. The factors around him right now are not the exact same factors around those of his parents when they were like him. So we could come to that round table and talk as responsible people, as people who have participated in the business of listening to each other and taking instruction from each other. So you don't just come out of the blues and want everyone to understand you. There must have been precedent where that kind of transaction, me to you, you to me, has been happening, whether in small scales or whatever scale, and it builds up to this. It's just like I walk up to you, I don't know you from blues, we don't have any serious thing, and I make a marriage proposal. You know how that hits you? Like,
are you okay?
You can't even, you get it. You can't even think he may be right. It's not crossing your mind. He can't be right. He does not know something like that. But say we are friends, we've been talking for a while and all of that. Aha, that's the same thing I'm talking about when I say building track record. So when young people just grew up drinking, the older generation knows nothing about the young generation. They're in different times. They're in computer age. They're in whatever age and all of that. They create a disconnect, which they come back later to find was to their disadvantage. Mm. Many young people walk away from the home and do all sorts of nasty things and they eventually come back home. So I don't know. You need the home. The family is so, so, so important. So maybe not to our listeners, maybe to those younger than our listeners. It's time to start creating very, very, very good track record. So to our parents, I want them to really not be too scared that we will not get things right.
Yeah, that's the
fear. I know most of what they do out of the fear of, I don't want my child to take the wrong decision at all. But how can you help a child take a decision in an environment you've not been before? Mm. He can't rely on you 100%, but he has to rely on you for, you know, some percentage and all that. So still, you know, then I said I'm going to echo on the inability of young people my age to negotiate properly, you know, to sit and talk things through. Everybody blows hot and everybody screams, they don't understand, they can't understand. What can they understand? They've been alive longer than me. They understand to a point. Now help them understand the other, the remaining, whatever, and bring them to the point. So from my own experience, because of the guiding go through those things, but there are a series of events where I had to, you know, explain things out to them. That the whole time, your friends are these kind of people. Now, see the kind of friends I have. Mm-hmm. See how my peer thinks. Sometimes I have to listen to him. I learned about not falling under peer pressure from my dad. You know, and he was trying to share with me what peer, and I'm like, really? So I was growing up in a time when peer pressure is a huge influence, but it didn't have that influence on me. That's one thing I'm grateful for today. Peer never had an influence on me, not once, still now. And that's an amazing thing because I was willing to listen to the things he was saying. Fine, he's not as young as I am, but peer pressure is the same thing through generations. Now, factors to consider to choose a career path is the same thing through all generations. The career may differ, but the factors are the same thing. The basic factors to consider are the same thing. So I was learning a lot from him. He was learning a lot from me, and he could see through my own mind. I could see through his and all. So when I was going to leave the bank, it was not much of a debate. It was just a phone call. Okay, Dad, I'm leaving. I was like, is it time? I said, yes. I said, fine. Imagine that kind of stuff. That would have created drama in some families.
I almost wanted to ask
where are you going?
How it was like transitioning from the bank industry to being a farmer.
Seriously. The entire family had known this boy wants to farm. So they were waiting for it. It's going to come up one of these days. So it was just a phone call. Hello, sister. I'm leaving this weekend. Hello, Dad. I have to go and all of that. There was no family meeting. There was no, hey, talk to your brother. He's losing his mind. Why? That track record of, see, I'm not trying to do this all alone. I'm not losing you guys. We're in this together, but come to see the way I see it. And what do you think about the way I see it? Okay, how do we adjust it to? All of those things. So it was a family thing. You know, it was not just me trying to conquer the world and prove to them I told you so. No, it was not that. It was just, see, my times are different and I have to flow with these things and all of that and blah, blah, blah. So imagine that kind of conversation. I'm making a very big career change and it was just a phone call of a minute or so. Also, it's because of what had happened many, many, many times before then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I said that just to portray my point. So we have to think of our families as a unit, forgetting the fact that there are about two or three generations in the family. We must see it as a continuum, as one full story, not a different movie. It's just one big movie. And we take from one generation, we continue in the next, we pass it on to the next. That way, I don't know if I'm articulating it the way I should, but
yeah,
I'm just worried if you get the point I'm trying to paint or something.
Yes.
All right.
I got you on that. But before we start rounding off, like for those who might not have had that good track record, and in their own sincerity, the choice they want to make is not in line or is not in tandem with what their parents or maybe people they are staying with know it to be. Let's say someone who has not had a good track record of relating with people, and all of a sudden he decides to make a decision in regards to relationship. How do you think that person should go about it? Like, how do I now make that impression, change that negative impression they have about me and make them understand that this thing I'm doing, it might not be something that you are used to, but it is a sincere act?
Okay. One thing hasn't failed me, and I think that it would be a place to start. And that is having conversations at the heart level. Mm. Yeah. If somebody does not get you, a parent does not understand you, or whatever decision you want to make, marital, business, career, religious, whatever, there's always that point where you can connect with the person at the heart level, like, see, this is really why I want to do this and all. It has not failed me. I don't know if it's a general rule for everybody, if it works all the time, but I've had success with it many times. Mm-hmm. And are very difficult conversations. I just like, see, I'm not trying to prove I'm better than you. I just want you to understand how I see. All right. And after having that, I'm open to see you come to me at a heart level and tell me what you are saying. Then I can point, oh, you are just being scared from you. Don't worry. I got that covered. But sometimes I see the underlying factors behind what they are doing. That thing only gets revealed when good people are talking at the heart level. And the young person can initiate that. I do that a lot. All right, that's one. But if you have done this and still there is no meeting point, regardless of whether you've had a track record before, you've not had a track record, or you're just coming out of the blues to see what you want to do and what your decisions are, we have to come to that point where we own our decisions, okay? Mm. You've made your explanations, you've explained what it is you want, what you're looking at, and blah, 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 blah. And you're still not having a go ahead and all. Well, the truth of the matter is you don't need anyone's go ahead to go ahead. Mm. You are just trying to be a responsible member of a clan. You're just trying to be a responsible member of the team, carry everyone along. But when it comes to life decision, you are 100% responsible for the good outcome or the bad consequences. So you really don't need someone's go ahead. You just want to not be a loner on it. And also, after you've done your talks and nobody's still getting you and everybody's insisting, like for my case now, Baba, you must do computer. And I explained, you must do computer. That is the future. At that point, I stopped caring. Okay. I stopped caring, really. I just go ahead and do what I want to do. Mm. And whatever the consequences are mine. So when we are young and we are scared of consequences, that's another issue. I don't think that concerns to this talk, and that's another issue. When you come to that point where you are fully convinced about what you want to do, of course, you don't know if you are right or wrong, but you are convinced now. And you are ready for whatever consequences then. Like when I left the bank, I was not having, okay, that was crazy. I won't ask anybody to do it the way I did mine and all. It was not like there was a second thing I want to jump in. There was no second ship in sight. There was nothing else. I would say, okay, for the meantime, I'm doing this. It was a crazy move, crazy for me too and all. But I was just too sure about that decision. Okay, and I was ready for whatever comes up afterward. And I'm still ready, even till now.
How's it been? It's been great. 2 years now or more, right?
2 years plus. Wow. 2 years plus. 2 years plus. So everybody feels like, wow, yeah, you made the best decision. That was the right time. That was the right move. I didn't know it was the right move. I was just convinced. And I was ready for whatever was going to happen to us. If I've made my mind, I've spoken to people, my parents, my other ones, and they still don't understand. I need to come to that point where I fully own my decision. I'm not scared. I don't know how to put that out right, but I'm not waiting for somebody to affirm or to validate. I'm off. So all I was trying to do before then was just to ensure I'm not leaving someone confused or worried or bothered. I just want everybody to be fine. But since they don't want to be fine, they insist on, do it the way we said you should do it, then no, I'm not going to give you that. Okay. I don't know if I answered that.
You did. You answered that perfectly. Yeah, thank you so much for like creating a balance with this whole thing, like how we can relate the struggles. If I got you well, you told us about creating a track record, coming to the negotiation table open-mindedly, and starting a conversation at heart, and finally owning up to your responsibility, like knowing fully well that when you're putting your legs, you should be ready for the consequences and the results as well.
That's right.
On that note, I want to say thank you very much for sharing your story with us and giving us those wonderful insights. I know that this time out with you answered this question perfectly, and we'll also be glad to have you where next we have something related maybe to farming or any other topic that you can do good justice to. We'll definitely call you, and I know you'll be glad to be part of us. Wow, thank you so much for listening to every bit of this episode. I know you got the insights that has been shared, and I know it is going to give you the direction you need in trying to relate with your family, with your parents, or even as a parent in how you should relate with your children who are of a different generation to you. So, thank you very much once again for listening. What can you do? The best thing you can do that I think you can do is to share this episode to your friends, your families, and loved ones. Download if you've not, because you always like to listen to it again. And maybe you want to listen to more podcasts, then visit jamit.fm or download the Jamit app. Thank you very much for listening. See you in the next episode of Cheap Talk Podcast. And don't forget, the main thing you need to do is to keep saying it and doing it right. See you next time. Bye.